Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. We are live in St. Louis. I guess we'll get that open a little bit later on in the show as well. We are in St. Louis getting set for CAGS Day, and we will be broadcasting till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Before, Cody, we head on over to Busch Stadium. We'll be talking to CAGS.
That's right.
Maybe in the 3 o'clock hour or so. I'll be looking on our social media channels. We'll be sure to be posting that. But it's all about CAGS, and we'll get into some of the things we heard from some people on the St. Louis side as well in terms of what they expect from Royals fans here today. But we made it. We head out
safely
on I-70 very safely last night. Cody, cruise control, of course, which was great on the highway.
Yeah.
Not going under the speed limit, thank goodness.
77, 78 tended to be the number I settled in on. So just, you know, the slightly above speed limit. I used to be like a 9, 10, 11 over guy, but I don't know. What's the difference? Go, what's it going to do? Get me here 5 seconds earlier? Wasn't worth it, but good, safe, even drive. Stayed in a hotel, good to go, here for CAG's debut. Most importantly, we made it to St. Louis, and Jack Caglione's going to play baseball tonight. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the biggest in-season debut since Eric Hosmer. Like, I understand Bobby Wood Jr. was on the opening day roster and had his debut and everything a couple years ago, but for an in-season call-up, this is as big as it gets. I know Eric Hosmer went on to win a world championship for this organization, and I remember at the time when this was 610 Sports Radio, there was the Hosmer Mania shirts and everything like that. But because of the flat-out power that Jack Caglione brings to the table, because of that, the excitement level is on a different level. This is also a guy joining a team that was in the playoffs the year before. This is also a guy that's joining a team that had the expectation, and still does in my mind, to win the American League Central. So it is magnified. This is, to me, this is a bigger call-up than even Eric Hosmer. I really believe. I'm not saying that that Haas obviously didn't win a championship. I'm just talking about from right now that the moment this organization is in, that is why, on top of the power numbers, this is bigger.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. And I guess part of this is, like, the team's also good. I'm not saying Eric Hosmer wasn't getting called up, wasn't a big deal, Gold. But at the time, he wasn't just getting called up. He was the franchise saver. Not the offense saver, which we think Jack Caglione might be getting tasked with, unfortunately, coming into here because of the way that the offense has been playing. But the franchise saver, dude. He was supposed to be their Bobby Witt Jr. when Hosmer got called up. We already have Bobby Wood Jr. He doesn't have to be the face of the franchise. Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the three best baseball players on the planet. So you're good there. Now we have the guy who's like Paul Bunyan. He's the folk hero part of it. Oh, he hits the ball a mile and swings with, you know, like, I just assume it's like half a tree trunk they've etched out in order for him to physically hit the baseball. And people are talking about his power like it's Stanton or Shohei or any of these other guys that kind of come into play. And so, yeah, honestly, I'm feeling pretty good about it. This is why the drive part of it is worth it. Like, you and I could have made a choice. Yesterday at 8:30 a.m., 9 a.m., our boss is like, are you guys willing to go to St. Louis in order to catch Jack Caglione's debut. And we thought about it, and I had to call my wife. We're like, you know what? Yeah. Let's go watch Jack Caglione hit. I'm looking forward to it. I tell you what, BP might be my favorite part. Batting practice. I'm looking forward to Jack Caglione's batting practice. That feels like it's going to be nuts.
I can promise you we will have some video of that. Just BP for Jack Caglione, where, by the way, it's going to be a little humid out there tonight. Because, as you guys know, in Kansas City, my understanding, right, you guys are getting thunderstorms out west. It's supposed to be fine for the game here. It's supposed to be well after the game before we get storms. But there's going to be some humidity in the air. That should also bode well for Jack Caglione, Cody, and BP, and during the game. We'll get into more specifics with the pitcher that he's facing tonight, the chances of him hitting a home run and everything. Because the pitcher they're facing is a ground ball guy.
Like, it's not going to stop me from betting it, though,
no,
to be clear.
No, we have some show bets we're going to get to. We'll lay out all the betting options that that FanDuel and some of the spots are offering and everything. But the pitcher he's going up against, maybe not the best pitcher for home runs because of the ground ball rate. But I actually think not to get too like in depth with it, but actually it's supposed to be humid, which is a good thing for the chance maybe for this ball to
fly out of
the ballpark.
He doesn't need help.
No.
Like someone was like, well, you know, maybe you could run into one. So far, I've watched 15 home runs from Jack Caglione in Double and Triple A, and I don't feel like there's been a cheapie.
No.
Like, well, I don't feel like the one that just like barely got over the right field fence it, you know, like Yankee Stadium kind of cheapy. They're all like 460.
Ryan, we're gonna play some audio a little bit later on the show from Buster Olney. He was on our betting network here at Odyssey saying, you know, it's the once again him and add him to the list of people saying Aaron Judge power. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know the comps that are out there. That's the one thing nobody's worried about. You can have other issues. You can be concerned about his fielding. You could be concerned, obviously, about strikeouts down the road, and we'll find that out over time. But in terms of flat-out power, just muscling a ball over the fence, nobody's concerned about that. The question will be, at a certain ballpark, you know, how far can he actually hit it? You know,
good question.
And we're going to find out here at Busch Stadium a little bit later on. People are wondering, where are we actually broadcasting from? We are in our Odyssey
enemy
studios.
Territory.
Yeah, we are in. We're actually at a station called KMOX, the Voice of St. Louis, a very well-known station. And the folks here are very nice. They got us set up in a studio over here. There's no video stream, obviously. We're in this spot, so maybe we'll have the stream up with our figurines or something.
Yeah, normally
at some point
we would do that, but not our faces today.
No, you can check social media. We'll be doing plenty of videos. There was the one last night from us driving out and everything as well. You know, we actually stay in, what, 25 minutes outside of St. Louis?
Yeah, last night.
Suburb, and we were staying at a hotel in a casino, and at one point someone already tweeted me and said, how did you not go downstairs? No, honestly, Cody can attest. We checked in, he went to his room, I went to my room, and that was it. I did not go down to the casino floor or anything. We're here for work, you know?
Yeah. Professional businessmen.
Only professional business. It's going to be a busy day.
In no way will I take part of being a fan tonight. Only work. That's not true, by the way. To be very clear, this is a mix of business and pleasure,
so
it turns out.
Yeah,
you
we're going to do this
the
show.
The classic case.
We're going to do this show. We're going to have a ton of fun for the next 4 hours talking CAGs. JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Royals, going to join us here in about 25 minutes or so. David Sampson, former Marlins team president, going to join us at 1 o'clock. He had some interesting comments about the Royals calling up CAGs now. He disagrees with the decision to call him up now. We'll also work in your text. We still have the text line pulled up, so you guys can still chime in as always on that. We definitely see all your texts, 913-586-7965. But Cody's right. After this, we are going to then drive, I don't know, 8-10 minutes to the stadium, and that's where CAGs will speak, Q will speak, we'll watch some BP, we'll put it up on social media channels, and after the game, we'll go back down there. But during the game, I found this out during the show yesterday. A friend of mine has a connection. We will be in a suite tonight, Cody.
Ooh.
Be in a suite tonight.
Is it wrong to not be amongst the people?
Well, that is amongst the people more than the press box.
Well, yeah, but not as amongst the people as like sitting in a regular seat.
Nope.
You know,
I'm supposed that's to turn sweet. Down a suite.
No, that's not
I'm
what
supposed
I'm saying.
To say no.
Don't hear that. Don't misinterpret it as that. I'm definitely okay with sitting in the suite and living that life. That sounds awesome, and am interested. But yeah, no, this is gonna be. I mean, can't really ask for much more. Hotel last night. Sleep in a big bed by yourself, right? That's not common for me.
Did you sleep better because your kids weren't around?
No, I sleep worse.
Really?
You're so accustomed to your circumstances. It always feels kind of funky being in like a hotel. It takes me like a few days to get into like vacation sleep mode, but that's okay. And then, yeah, watch Cags slug BP down on the field,
yeah.
Then go sit in a suite for a few hours and then talk to Cags after the game. That sounds awesome to me.
And then we're driving back right after the game.
And then we're driving
that's
back.
That's the plan.
Through a storm? What do we think? What's the weather looking like on our way back?
Based on everybody here, they're acting like it's after midnight and the severe weather that's happening in Kansas City is going to break up before it gets here. So
nice.
I think we're fine. We'll have some rain maybe at some point, but you know, we'll get into people's travels. I was texting with a friend that I guess a lot of people were trying to take a an Amtrak train.
Oh, man. And had problems?
And had problems. So I guess the Amtrak train, they got a text alert late last night. There's some of you listening maybe were planning on taking the Amtrak to St. Louis. I think there was one out this morning, and it would arrive like at 2:30 or 2:40 this afternoon. And they got a text alert last night that due to like a train mechanical issue or something, right, that the train got canceled, but they were putting everybody on buses.
Oh, that's way worse.
My buddy sent me a photo from Union Station in Kansas City, obviously, and it's a photo. I showed you this earlier, Cody, and it's a photo of everybody standing like in a single file line looking like they're getting ready to board buses, multiple buses. So there's Royals fans coming on buses that were supposed to come on train.
Do I get a discount?
I doubt it. They probably are just getting you there.
I mean, I know they're just getting me there. I'm not saying a train ticket's like the world's most...
There's people wearing Royals gear and stuff. So the train that some people were... I mean, hopefully they'll still make it out here. There'll be a good crowd tonight. Tomorrow is more dangerous in terms of...
weather.
Right. And someone mentioned, yeah, the train derailment in Sedalia that has messed up the entire Amtrak line. So that's what happened. Okay. Thank you, Texas.
Well, I hope everyone's okay as it relates to the train derailment. But yeah, that does make your life a little bit more difficult when you're a fan trying to come out here. If you're coming out there, let us know. 913-586-7965. Because that would, I got to be honest, every once in a while when you have like a trip and something immediately happens like that, you wonder if it's going to like, if it's hanging a dark cloud over the trip a little bit. Right before Emma and I were getting married in San Francisco. So like we're packing up our car. Like, we're throwing things in the trunk of the car to go to the airport, to go get married in California, do all that stuff. And I got a text alert that said, the BART is on strike as of today. I'm like, come on. I wasn't renting a car when we were out there. I was relying on some public transit being able to take me somewhere. Mm-hmm. They were like, nope, starting today, we're on strike. I was like, that's going to suck. So then the buses and Uber was around then, but it was in its infancy. As in, like, you had to borderline be invited to use the app. You couldn't just call them wherever you were. It was nuts. So, like, yeah, I hope for their sake.
Yeah, safe travels to everybody.
You're next
out
to
there
somebody wearing their shoes on the bus, and you can safely travel out here to come watch Cags play baseball.
Whether you're taking the bus, whether you're hopping on a quick flight, whether you're driving, safe travels. Hope to see you guys out here in St. Louis a little bit later on tonight. Let us know if you're going to be around the stadium as well. We'll try to maybe meet up with some of you. I know a few of you were asking where we're going to be out. We'll continue to talk about that throughout the day as well. The other question I have, though, with Cags, and we're not going to know till later on this afternoon with the lineup, is this thought of how you debut him. And what I mean by that is he right away playing right field or left field? Right field, most likely. Is he DHing? Is he playing first? How much do you believe in the easing him in? Because, look, they're already easing him in by having him debut on the road, I would say, to a certain extent. If you know that most likely he's going to be your right fielder, let's say, for a majority of this season, which is where things are at organizationally. Obviously, Vinny's playing first.
Yeah.
A majority of the time he's playing the outfield, what? Just get it out of the way and go all in on it tonight? Or are you thinking that they got to wait a couple days, let him just get used to hitting, and then play the field? Why not just get the, I don't know, jitters is the right word, but if there are any, we'll ask Cags about it, but let him play right field immediately and get that first one out of the way.
Yeah, I don't see any reason. That's where he's going to play. I understand there's a lot of pressure in a debut, and we'll get the lineup here, and I'm sure not too long from now, but what's the harm? And this is the part about Cags, and this isn't even meant, it's not meant to be an insult. It's Cags' debut day. There's no reason to be, like, overly negative. So people are worried about him playing right field, and the question I get asked a lot is, can he do it? Is it going to look bad? And all that other stuff. And I'd point out a couple of things. One is that Hunter Renfroe played right field for a long time this year, and, cool, did you think he was giving good defensive play in right field? No, of course not. And at least this way I'm getting to bat. And here's the thing. I think that Cags is a downgrade at either position he plays. Vinny's a better first baseman. I think Salvi might be a better first baseman. Cags is not known. This isn't like when they came up. Let's not. I think what's happening is the last like four first basemen to get called up, they talk about what great first basemen they are. Hosmer and Prado and all these guys like, oh man, they're wizards over at first. That's not the scouting report on Cags. It's not that he's not a good first baseman. He's a good first baseman. But I don't think he's better than Vinny is right now. So like, I don't really care where I take the downgrade on offense. And the truth is, Gold, the value of a corner outfielder that can hit is a value that the Royals have been seeking forever. Wait, do you remember the last corner outfielder? Like Soler, I guess? What's corner outfielders with power? Especially developed corner outfielders with power. Rare sight in Kansas City. So yeah, I'm fine with just putting him out in right field. They want to DH him for a game. I'm not going to come on the show and be like, they're afraid of it. No, I don't care, but I'd probably just put him in right field and just start the process.
That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I think the thought, though, of what he's going to be defensively, you'll take, I guess we'll call it average right field play if he is providing the pop that we all believe he's going to have. Nobody's questioning the pop. It's all just about the continued plate appearances and how much he's going to walk for strikeout, et cetera.
Yeah, the chase rate, all the stuff.
You'll take the pop if it, even if it's average outfield play. That's fine. People are going to have to kind of live with that. Also, that's what's to say that he doesn't improve a little bit as a fielder as he continues to play outfield. Remember, he has still only played, not a handful, but let's call it, I don't know, Cody, is it even 50 games in the outfield? No, it's like, isn't it like 25, 30 games in the outfield, something like that? It's a pretty low number of games that he's played in the outfield, including in the minors. I mean, heck, the night I was in Omaha on Friday, he was DHing, Cody. So I mean, he wasn't even in the outfield Friday night in Omaha. Saturday, he was in right field. But so he wasn't even playing outfield every single day there. So I'm not saying don't look at the outfield play. And yeah, it's something I'm going to be watching. I'm sure you are as well. But
well, yeah, it's a part of his progression, sure.
But let's see how it goes. Let's see what the arm looks like. Who was it? Was it Jim Callis was with us a week or so ago from MLB Pipeline, J.J. Cooper from Baseball America.
And they said his arm didn't look like a cannon.
Yeah, they said, hey, maybe the arm strength wasn't what you would have expected, but who knows, right? We'll just see where that develops. That's not why he's getting called up, though.
What's crazy
he's not getting
is,
called up because he's got a great arm in the outfield. He's not getting called up because he's a great fielder. He's getting called up because the dude can smack home runs. That's why he's getting called up.
Yeah, for sure. But also, like, you have to acknowledge, like, the outfield part, Gold. How many throws? How many full outright get it all the way in throws, right? All the way to home, all the way to second, full throttle throws that he make. Five? I mean, he hasn't played that many games in the outfield, Gold. 15? Like, it can't be that many overall. So to judge it based on that, for a guy who was pumping mid-90s, something tells me his arm strength eventually will look pretty good. In retrospect, by the way, I will say, looking back on it, the second that they did the Rusty Kuntz crash course and he was there in AAA specifically, we should have known, dude. We should have known it was like 3-4 days away. The second they called up Rusty Kuntz to be like, hey, Rusty, we're going to need you to go ahead and give Jack the crash course on how to correctly play outfield because you've gotten every other guy we've transitioned out there looking real good over the years. So if you don't mind, we got a week for him to figure it out and to tighten everything up as tight as he can get it before he goes in there. Kuntz comes up, then immediately Jack Caglione gets called up here. So again, I think in the end, the best thing for the organization and for them, for an offense that's already struggled and for an offense that doesn't have like a bunch of hitters coming up right now, is to have Vinny and Jack in the lineup. And the easiest way to do that is to have have Jack Caglione in right field and Vinny at first. Yeah. And then, you know, float DH, but you need that for Salvi and guys too.
Pulling up the numbers, it looks like it was like 18 games or something. 18 starts in the outfield is all he's had.
So he might have made seven throws.
Yeah, well, that's
of
the other
like
thing.
Full velocity.
On Saturday, this is one game, but on Saturday in Omaha, we're there, I think, I don't know if he even had to make one play in the outfield. I'm not even kidding. Like I think it was very minimal until it's in terms of the work that he had to get. Someone says, "Hey, he has to play first." Guarantees there's a positive to take away from today. Could be a disaster mentally at DH right field. I disagree with that.
I don't think he's just going to boot the ball around. Yeah, there's no evidence to support that.
We're saying that he might be an average fielder. Yeah, it doesn't mean this guy's just making errors once a week. Okay, I disagree with that. He has to play first, so there's positives tonight. It's his big league debut. I mean, it's we all want him obviously to go out there and have multiple hits, whatever. There's tonight's not a disaster debut. Come on now. There's not a scenario where that
he could go over five with four strikeouts.
He could go over five with five strikeouts, and it's not a your opinion on Jack Caglione should not change if he strikes out five times tonight.
Don't you remember right after like he got to AAA and he immediately hit a homer and you're like, oh my god, look at here, he's 3-for-4 in his first like three games. Then he had an 0-for-5 day with three strikeouts, and there were some of the people being like, well, here comes the adjustment. Very next day, 3-for-4. It's baseball. People go 0-for-4. Bobby Witt Jr., who hit 330 last year, had an 0-for-4 day with 3 Ks last year. Without even looking, I'm 100% sure. Hell, I watched Aaron Judge do it every single time he gets to the playoffs. So, like, and he's the best hitter on the planet.
He is.
So, like, I'm not going to panic over a single start. Now, look, I'll be honest. Would I love to watch Jack Caglione put a ball 470 feet tonight? I mean, yeah. I obviously want to see that, Gold. Why wouldn't I want that? That's what we're all here for, is the tremendous debut. But I don't know. I mean, this goes back to the Noah Cameron
thing. They still have the Big Mac sign at Busch Stadium?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, from the Mark McGwire days.
Do they still have that? It wasn't left
field. Wasn't that an old Busch?
No.
That
was
new Busch. Okay,
But do they still have like the McDonald's Big Mac land thing?
Don't know.
I think they do.
Don't know.
And if that exists, that's where I want them to hit it. Now that's tough. That's left field, but that's the spot, Cody, tonight.
Because they're hosting us, I guess we shouldn't. Should we? I mean, kind of tempting to go pick on Cardinals fans out here in the bullpen and be like, "You guys used to sell out every game, struggle for 1 year, and all of a sudden the tickets are freely available."
Still the best fans in baseball.
Oh, come on. That just calling yourself that speaks to the arrogance is my problem. Royals fans have never called them and I would be a little offended if they did. Although in fairness, Chiefs fans might call themselves that.
Do you want me to record you going around the parking lot this afternoon, going up to Cardinals fans asking, are you guys the best fans in baseball, and asking them why they're called that?
What are they going to say? Yeah, we are. Go Birds. Whatever. Do they say that like the Eagles?
I have no
idea. Birds? I don't actually have any idea.
Someone says, by the way, Big Mac Land still is there in left field.
Hell
so
yeah.
There you go.
But I mean, he'd have to hit that thing to the opposite field. He'd have to really give that one a ride.
Yeah,
I told you he's going to hit it to the arch. It's going to go right. It's just going to bang off the side of the arch is what I'm anticipating tonight. What's that, like 1,000 feet from home plate?
Gateway to the West. Uh-huh.
Gateway to the West, yeah, okay. We're not going any further west in the stadium. Then we're heading back east, back home, man.
Yeah, look, I wish from our view right now, and we can't see the arch from the studio we're in. I wish we could. We cannot see it. We'll have to wait till we get to the ballpark, I think, to be able to see that. Reminder, coming up in 10 minutes, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, is going to join us. David Sampson also is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour today. He's a former team president of the Miami Marlins, and we've had him on the show a couple times. And he had some takes on Jack Caglione getting called up, and it had to do with the financial side of things, the service time side of things. Listen to what he had to say on his show over on CBS Sports.
What Kansas City has done is the single most irresponsible move I've seen in quite a long time. If he's going to be that good, how do you call him up now where he will hit arbitration a full year earlier than if they had waited till after around June 17th? We waited to call up Miguel Cabrera until after June 17th, and therefore we got an extra year at the minimum. I have no idea how a team that's not in the top 10 of payroll is not paying attention to dates. And the Royals forcing the issue, that's a bunch of horse hockey. You take the extra 2 weeks because it gives you an extra year, and it compounds itself in arbitration. This is a $10 million decision they made. He better be Vladimir Guerrero Sr., and he better start now. But to me, the GM said, we're not going to make a move, until the team is hot. Whatever. I don't know what they were doing here, Matt. I would not have done that. Now, of course, he could get a full year of service time if he finishes top two rookie of the year, in which case it wouldn't matter. But he's got to finish top two in rookie of the year. But I guess as Vladimir Sr., he may. But for me, this is irresponsible.
So there you go. That's David Sampson saying it was irresponsible for the Royals to call him up. Now, we had talked about the Super 2 qualification. We had talked about service time.
Yeah, a couple more weeks and you get past some of those things.
And admittedly, it was a reason why I didn't think he was going to get called up this week, and I thought it would be next week. I mean, so I'm not acting like it's this new concept. What I want to find out from J.J. Piccolo is, my understanding is the Super 2 cutoff can vary year to year. And so what numbers, what data do they have?
Maybe they think it's already passed.
Correct.
We don't know. We can ask J.J. Piccolo here in about 10 minutes.
I will say the $10 million difference or decision, if you think Cags is going to be that dude, and he is, and we're talking 3 years from now, 2 years from now, and you have to do a contract extension, you're not worried about it costing you $10 million. It's whether or not you're willing to pony up $150 million.
Or more.
Additional. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. Now, if you want to, the service time, the one less year thing, I'll listen to that argument, but that also goes back, what's the cutoff for that? And if you
that cutoff's already existed. I mean, you got to kind of like get through all of this year. I'm going to sit him on the bench for the next 4 months.
I agree. And
a playoff hunt?
Ugh. If he finishes top two in rookie of the year anyway, then none of this conversation matters because he automatically qualifies.
Yes. Yes, and in that case, you're just getting back the return. If I lose the $10 million, I get international pool money. Or if he finishes top three in the MVP, I get a draft pick compensation. I'll get my money's worth just as long as he's a player. But also, like, it's $10 million. It's such a small amount. It's like one Chris Stratton. And now we're like, oh, no, let's watch. I'm not penny-pinching for John Sherman.
You're not.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're not. And also, this was a move to show that you're winning now. Mm-hmm. It's a win now type of move. I don't know anything. Like, normally, a fan base would complain that you're holding somebody down because you're worried about the money and all that, and you're not trying to win now. They're trying to win now. As a fan, I don't know why you would be concerned about this necessarily. You know what I mean?
It's his money. I don't care how he spends it.
Look, David Sampson was a Marlins team president, so he's thinking clearly on that side of it. But
and
like,
a small market guy.
And a very small market guy. The Royals have shown, under John Sherman, they've been willing to spend, they've been willing to focus on win-now type of moves, and that's what also calling up Jack Caglione was. But we're going to ask J.J. Piccolo in just a bit how that service time, how the Super 2 stuff exactly works, and how much of a consideration was that. As coming up next, as we continue broadcasting live in St. Louis, it is Cags Day right here on 96.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6.5 The Fan. All right, back here on Cody and Gold. We are broadcasting live in St. Louis. Made the drive east last night. We are all set for Cags Day. Cags debut here in St. Louis. Of course, 6:45 first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. And this is a great day to have the general manager of the club on as he joins us every couple weeks. J.J. Piccolo joins us right now on Cody and Gold. We made the drive, J.J. Obviously, everybody's excited in Kansas City, and you've been part of debuts before, obviously. This is not your first rodeo, but can you just feel and sense the excitement around Kansas City? And I'm sure there's excitement within the organization as well.
Yeah, there's definitely an excitement. You know, we could feel it in Kansas City, but it's it seems very similar to when we decided that Bobby was going to be on the opening day roster a couple of years ago. The difference is obviously that this is the middle of the season and we're competing fairly well. And, you know, guy, he's a player that's had a lot of attention on him. So he just keeps doing what he's been doing. So, you know, excited to get it going tonight.
JJ, for like the people that might say, all right, this is reactionary, or is it because the offense is failing? Like, explain your process, right? Like, how did you get here? How did you decide now was the time for Jack Caglione? I know even a week ago you had said, in ideal circumstances, you call him up when the offense is kind of rolling. So how did you guys eventually come to this decision?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. In an ideal situation, that would be the easiest way to break him in. But, you know, we've also said all along that we're just evaluating the player and we're going to do what's best for the player. And you know, it just seems like every week he shows us something that in whatever area it may be. And a lot of it's just pitch selection where he is improving. And we thought last week, early in the week, he faced some pretty good arms. You know, we were playing the Twins AAA team, and there were a couple guys there that have big league time that are quality pitchers, and you could see in his at-bats that he was making adjustments, not only at-bat, but pitch to pitch. He walked a few more times last week than he had previous weeks. You know, drove the ball well, used all fields. He's not trying to do too much. He's taking his hits to left field. You know, it's just, you know, clear to us that he's a very mature hitter, and his time has come a little bit before we anticipated. And we had some really senior evaluators there in Omaha last week, and they walked away very impressed. And quite honestly, by Friday night, you know, I had settled in my mind that this is probably going to happen early next week.
I had heard at least one scout describe it as the way Bobby Wood Jr. works, in the sense that, like, okay, maybe they have flaws in their game, but then you're like, hey, I'd like you to work on this. And by the time they're working on it, they're already kind of fixing part of the problem. Is that kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about, like, those adjustments happening quick for Jack?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And let's face it, every player has flaws. I mean, there's no perfect player in this world. So there's going to be challenges for Jack, just like any major league player. And there's going to be some ups and downs. But that's normal, you know, but the way he's handled the attention, the way he handled going from AA to AAA, the way he even handled last year, going from A ball to the fall league and really getting going at the end of the fall league, you know, they're all good signs that he can take some coaching, really some self-evaluation, and really put his mind to addressing whatever it is that he's trying to address. And he's just got that presence about him, and you see it in, you know, I'd say once every, you know, 8 to 10 years, you know, you see a player where there's just that presence, and he's got that presence. And the other thing I keep trying to remind myself, I'll say, you know, he's 22 years old, he's a young kid, but there have been a lot of players that have played, you know, Latin American players, guys like Bobby that break into the league at 21 years old. You know, we shouldn't hold it against him, you know, because he spent 3 years in college. You know, when you see a mature hitter, you know it when you see it. And, you know, Jack just keeps proving that he can make these adjustments and be ready for the major league. So adding him to our major league team right now is a reflection of what he's done and his readiness for the major leagues.
We all had a chance, JJ, to see the social media video when Gersh broke the news to Cags. And again, I know you've been part of these before, but I guess peel back the curtain a little bit. What's that like for even you to maybe watch that, to see that reaction from a kid that has been playing baseball his whole life? And obviously his dream, his goal was to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, they're really neat to see. You know, before social media, we never got a chance to see those things. Our fans didn't get a chance to see it. So now, you know, when you get a chance to see it, you see how special it is. You see the player's reaction. I thought it was great that, you know, Jer said, now go call your dad. That was pretty cool to hear as well. But Jersh has done that so many times for so many players that he's had a lot of practice. And you never want to take away from that moment. You want the player just to enjoy it. And ideally, you know, if their family was in town, you just go outside the clubhouse and give them a big hug. In this case, you know, he had to go call his dad. So pretty cool stuff.
No doubt about that. We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, here on 96.5 The Fan. Maybe this will be more of a question for Q and some of the guys later on this afternoon, but what kind of boost can this be for a clubhouse, too, when you're a team that obviously has expectations to go win and was in the playoffs last year, and then now you get a player that has the potential to really help this team?
Well, the team's excited about it. You know, we spoke to a couple players on Sunday evening, just to let them know they knew that it was probably coming at some point. I think what Jack has done that it's going to be very, very helpful for him is the time he spent in spring training. He was so respectful to everybody else in the clubhouse. There was humility that just is engaging and endearing to the team. So when guys handle themselves like that, they're hard not to root for. I know our clubhouse is following what he was doing every day, and you know it's hard not to. But I think it's more of a reflection of who he is and how he gained the respect of teammates in spring training. And that's a big part of this. You know, you want a guy to be mature enough to handle the major leagues, but if they aren't that type of teammate, a move like this can create animosity. Well, that's absolutely not the case here. There's excitement within the clubhouse, and you know, now we got to go out and play baseball. You know, it's not just about Jack Caglione. It's about our lineup starting to function a little bit better. I think what it does, it clearly adds some power to our lineup, but it also creates some depth in our lineup, and we can do some other things that we're still trying to decide on what the lineup's going to be tonight. But, you know, you may see a little bit different lineup than you've seen in the past. And, you know, if that's the case and our instincts are right, hopefully this offense gets a little bit of a boost, but not just from Jack, but from everybody else as well.
I guess it's just like a follow-up to that and just like the way he's going to play in the field. What is kind of the preferred or, I don't know, the mix you and Q are talking about? How much right, how much first, how much DH, and I guess how high are you willing to hit him in the lineup? Is there a possibility tonight we could see him hitting fourth or fifth? Or are you guys thinking about maybe starting him lower in the lineup and then trying to work him in that way?
Well, it's either going to be five or six, one of the two. You know, that, and that's what we're trying to decide on. And, you know, positionally, you know, he's done a good job in right field. You know, that's something that Rusty Koontz has spent the last 2 weeks with him. Rusty's very confident that he's going to hold his own out there. You know, it is a new position for him, so we got to be realistic in what we expect. First base is clearly his most comfortable position. But more than likely tonight, I think he's going to be DHing, you know, and I think, you know, that's very intentional just because you want him to just, you know, focus on the bat. Don't worry about the defense. So he'll probably DH tonight. But defensively, you're going to see him in the DH spot. You're going to see him in right field, and you're going to see him at first base. He's going to just be part of that mix with Salvi and Vinny at first base, and there's going to be some opportunity to get him there as well.
I think some fans were trying to figure out exactly how the service time stuff works and Super 2 eligibility works. We played some audio from David Sampson, who was critical of your guys' decision to make the move now versus waiting a few weeks. If you could just kind of explain how that works. And my understanding is there's different cutoff dates each year sometimes for Super 2 eligibility, and how much, if at all, did that play a role in this decision?
Well, first of all, it never plays a role for the Kansas City Royals. We're going to do what's best for the player, what's best for the organization. You know, there's a lot of unpredictability in Super 2, and it's very complicated to try to explain it real quickly here. But it's a little bit of a sliding scale, so he potentially can be a Super 2, but that's not the end of the world if he's a Super 2. that's not why we would or wouldn't make a decision, nor is service time. You know, that's if we had thought he was ready for the major leagues opening day, he would have been on the team opening day. So, you know, that is really irrelevant in our minds, because this is about winning baseball games, and this is about putting the right guys on the field. And now that we're comfortable that he's ready for this challenge, he's going to come up. And that's the same can be said for every player that I've ever been a part of in my time with the Royals, and it's going to be the same way moving forward.
Couple more things worth asking you, JJ, including kind of I want to ask you a little bit about where the offense is and kind of where kind of your hope is for the pitching staff and making sure you take advantage of how good your pitching staff is. But the obvious question, I don't care if it's a backfield, I don't care if it was a like at bat where they were just like live BP, what's the most impressive home run you've seen Jack Caglione hit? Is there one that stands out of being like over the railroad tracks kind of stuff, right? How far have you seen him hit it?
Well, It goes back a few years. I was watching the University of Florida play Vanderbilt at the University of Florida, and he was actually pitching that day. I was there to see a player for Vanderbilt. And our area scout, Nick Presto, who ended up signing Jack, you know, told me before the game, he said, look, you're going to see a left-handed pitcher who's pretty good today for Florida, but I like him as a hitter, and he hit one over the scoreboard there at the University of Florida. So that was my first introduction to Jack. And I know he's probably hit some further than that, But that was the first day I ever saw Jack Caglione play. And, you know, it's hard to forget a ball going over a scoreboard. So the first impression was pretty good.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago that is obviously the excitement around Jack Caglione, but also, hey, doing some things maybe in the lineup to try to get this offense going and get some other guys to get going. Big picture for you guys this year, knowing how well the pitching has been for you and at elite level to this point in time, does it, I don't know if an obligation is the right word, do you feel almost that there's an obligation to not let this pitching, quote unquote, go to waste, that you guys have a really special pitching staff this year?
No doubt about it. I mean, a big part of this decision to bring Jack up has to do with how good our pitching is. If our pitching wasn't as good as it's been, we're not in the position we're in. I mean, that's just facts. You know, the offense hasn't done what we know it's capable of doing and believe it will do. But thankfully, the pitching's been so good, even through a 2-week run here without Steph and Cole. You know, they compete every night. They keep us in every single game. And that's very valuable, and that's a big part of why we're excited for these last 100 games. I mean, it's elite. You know, it was elite last year. It's elite this year. And that's not lost upon us. I mean, pitching is the name of the game. We play good defense. You know, you pitch, you play defense, you get some big hits, you're winning games. And right now we're just not getting the big hits, but the pitching's been there, and that's why we've had the opportunity to win games, even when we're not going that great offensively. So that is not lost on us at all.
Do you guys as a staff look at, like, when you got Noah Kammer come up or Steven Cruz, or some of these other guys who've had to come up because, you know, Ursig's been hurt or Reagan's or others recently. Do you look at that as like, okay, pitching development is doing it the way we're supposed to? Because I always viewed a good organization the pitching way is, guy comes up and he's maybe not heralded the way we're talking about a guy like Jack Caglione, but they're immediate contributors.
That's a big part of what we're trying to do is create depth with pitching, and you know, our pitching development department has done an incredible job, not only with Noah, but others. But for Noah to step up at a time where we really needed him has been outstanding. I mean, it's exactly, you know, how you draw it up, but he's been so good. I mean, that's, I was commenting to somebody the other day, you know, I thought he would be able to keep us in games, but I didn't think he'd be able to win games for us, you know, like just giving up one run and two runs, and that's what he's doing. And it's really impressive. And I think that culture that our pitching department has created from minor leagues to the major leagues and the way they handle the pitchers, they step in here, they're very comfortable. Guys like Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, those guys do a great job embracing the younger guys. You wouldn't know that Noah Cameron's in the first month of his major league career when you watch him sit in the dugout or walk around during BP. I mean, he is very comfortable in a very positive way in our clubhouse and around our pitchers. But that's what happens when you get good leadership from the veterans. And that's what we've had the last 2 years. And I think Chris Bubich benefited from it last year and has bled into this year. Cole Reagans and Brady Singer last year, you know, had career years for them, and it's because the culture is good, and that makes it a lot easier for Noah Cameron or anybody else to break in with us.
Noah Cameron, as well as he's pitched, I feel like has prompted you guys to have to make a decision, or maybe this is a pretty simple one for you, but Cole Reagans, is there a chance that he's activated on Thursday? And if so, what's the thought there with where you guys go with Noah Cameron at this point?
Yeah, we've got Cole lined up for Friday. He's still got to throw aside. He threw the ball. His line wasn't good in AA, but we see that a lot when major league pitchers make a rehab assignment. But his stuff was very good. And most importantly, his leg felt good. So he's got another side to throw just to make sure he's on target and 100% healthy before we activate him. But if we do activate him, it'll probably be for Friday start. But we'll just play this out. We've got some off days here. You know, we're looking at different ways to try. I don't think with all the off days we have coming up that a 6-man rotation makes sense right now. So we'll have to make a decision on what we're going to do with Noah or others. But at the same time, they're good decisions to have. You know, you can never have enough pitching. So when you have one starter too many, there's ways to be creative and come up with a way to get them all involved.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Executive Vice President of Baseball Ops. Enjoy the game tonight in St. Louis, and maybe we'll see you around this afternoon.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That is J.J. Piccolo. He joins us every couple weeks here on Cody and Gold. Just real quick at the end there, that will be something to watch later on this weekend. And it sounds like, you know, they haven't made up their mind fully on what they're going to do on the Noah Cameron.
I mean, they probably don't want to put him in the bullpen. You want a guy stretched out in case Lugo's problem comes back or Reagan's problem comes back. Like, if they've already been in an IL trip, do you want to risk it? I don't. Walker's in his mid-30s. I know this sounds crazy because of how well Noah Cameron's pitched, but the reality is, unless you are fine with moving Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen, which, by the way, does kind of align a little bit, if you start him tonight and then make that transition over, that's the only choice. It's Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen or Noah Cameron back to AAA.
Unless I'm seeing
something I'm not seeing. Yeah. Nothing else really makes sense.
I would think that's the case as well. Coming up a little bit later on next hour, maybe we'll bring back Drew if we can isolate that cut. We're broadcasting in St. Louis for those just tuning in the show. Drew's back in our studio. Maybe isolate that cut of JJ's response to David Sampson, who obviously had some critical comments about their decision to call up Cags. You heard JJ's response to that. I thought that was pretty interesting as well. So we'll get back into that coming up. And then as far as just Caglione, what he had to say about the position that he could be in over the next week and even tonight, you heard him say most likely DH. Will DH tonight. So that answers our question.
Hitting fifth or sixth.
That answers our question. They're still trying to decide fifth or sixth. But then within that answer, he said, you know, they're still trying to work some things out that it could look a little bit different.
Mikel's going to lead off, isn't he? And Jonathan India's going to hit six.
That's what it sounds like. That at least they're debating that. How about that? Like,
yeah.
At least that's the question they're trying to figure out. Cags is hitting fifth or sixth tonight as the DH is basically what we found out. But depending on which spot he hits in, if you're saying, well, the lineup might look a little different tonight, he's not just talking about that Cags is in it. That, yeah, I think the one switch would likely involve Mikel Garcia moving up in the order.
I mean, I don't see any other way to view it another way. I mean, what's the other, that or Kyle Isbell's moving up in the order? I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's.
And I think they like where he is. Maybe he moves up ahead of Drew Waters or somebody else, maybe, and they kind of flip the bottom part a little bit. But when he's saying that stuff and lineup changes could come and it could look a lot different, or it could look different than how it has looked, my initial instinct is Mikel leads off, Bobby second, Vinny third. Then it gets interesting. Does India hit fourth? Is that actually where Mikel moves up? I still guess would Salvi be fourth, Jack fifth, and India sixth.
It'd be a new look, and that would
you lengthen the lineup. And I don't know that for sure. I'm just saying, like, if he's saying lineup changes, that would be the most logical one in my brain.
Yeah, it was clear that it's not just the idea that Cags is in the order. It's that it sounds like they're considering some other shifts, and would tonight be, why not tonight kind of thing, right?
Well, Jack, why not? This is a new lineup anyway.
Yeah. I know. We definitely addressed that a little bit yesterday on the show. We'll get back into that later on today. But if you're just tuning in, we are in St. Louis. We're getting set for Cags' debut here at Busch Stadium, and we will be providing some social media content. Be sure after the show as well. We're on till 2, but go to our social media channels on Instagram, Twitter, you name it, and be sure to check that out. Also, individually, we'll have some stuff up at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold. We'll be there talking to Cags when he speaks to the media for the first time as a big leaguer. Hopefully, we'll have some video of BP. I know Dusty's going to be making the drive out. Maybe he's on the road right now. Shout out there to Dusty. Drive safe. And we will see him a little bit later on this afternoon, too.
How fast does Dusty drive? What's his overage on it?
Safe.
Fine. I didn't know. Was he like 10-12 over? 5-6 over?
I didn't pay
over?
That much attention. No, yeah, that's flow fair. Of traffic.
Flow of traffic. Flow of traffic. Okay. Flow of traffic. That's a good speed. Yeah. I got no complaint about flow of traffic. That's a logical way to go about it. That's fine. Just want to be... I didn't know. You've now ridden on a long-ish road trip with both me and Dusty in the last week.
That's true.
So you get a sense. Yeah, after a while, you got to ride with Carrington somewhere, then you can do your official Alex Gold driving rankings of people amongst the station.
Have I gone on a road trip with Bob? No.
You guys have known each other so long. You've never been...
Not a road trip, though.
Okay. Not like even for a half hour, hour? Not even like a slightly longer car ride?
No, not with Bob.
You picked him up once. He watched you drive.
Yeah. That was when I was driving Kling's Jeep when I was an intern. No, and CDOT, I don't think I've ever ridden a car with CDOT in my life. I don't think he's ridden my car
either.
Ever.
Do you think he keeps a clean car? I mean, if his desk is any indication, the answer is no. But I mean, some people keep cleanliness areas in different spots. I've never seen the inside of care. You know, like
you're make a mess everywhere, or you make a mess where other people are around, but for you, you wouldn't want to deal with it on your
own.
Yeah,
so you keep
it's
tiny and kind of your area, you know? I find meticulous people to kind of be meticulous everywhere, but we'll see.
Go ahead, Drew.
I've been in Carrington's car one time, and I wouldn't describe it as the cleanest car.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sounds like we're on the right path here.
Fair enough.
Go through my car. I had just cleaned it on Saturday. Good timing.
Your car is also less than a year old, and you didn't have it for 6 months, I feel like. So it's only,
only so much dirt that can pile up.
I haven't been in Drew's car, but his car's newer, too. It looks like he keeps it clean and everything. I've never been in it, but yeah, he says he tries to. Okay. Yeah.
If you watch the social media videos we've already sent out, you get an inside view of the Tiguan, you know?
That's right.
See the inside view.
Yeah, we might have to go live at 12:30 at night tonight as we're driving back.
Yeah, why not? Especially if he hits a couple of homers. Just like riding high. Also, it'll just keep us awake, you know? Cup of coffee and then do some little midnight
talk.
Someone
says gold riding shotgun, saving gas. Well, I mean, like, one,
yeah.
Cody's car.
Why would we take two different cars?
Why would we take two different cars? And let's be honest. Would we take the car that's over 10 years old or the one that's 6 months old or a year old?
Year old.
Yeah. Yeah,
logically,
it seems like the correct decision. All right, we're just getting started here in St. Louis. It is Cody and Gold. Up next, let's talk more about what could be a great season. What would that look like? Like, what would make you happy in a rookie year for Jack Caglione? And we'll talk bigger picture about this offense. That's coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.